And if you would, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to have some fun today with some perhaps fairly known verses. Proverbs 3. Yeah, no problem. Proverbs 3. So this may be a silly mind picture, but I want to paint a little mind picture for you because it's something that I was thinking about. Just imagine, maybe you kids will have fun with this because of video games and everything else like that, but imagine like a universe, right, where there's these little creatures. And these little creatures have, in their life, they have this race to run. Right? And it's a long race, and they have to race from point A to point B, and they have to go through all these different obstacles to get there. Tall, short obstacles, mind game obstacles, physical obstacles, all sorts of things. And the goal is to get to the end, right? Each little creature, one has this talent, the other has that talent. Some are stronger than others, some are weaker. You know, a variety of different things in these creatures, right? And then you have, also in this universe, you have a being who can see everything, can see the beginning of the path, and can see the end, can see the middle, can see the intricate details that are hidden underneath rocks and in valleys. He knows, or it knows, this being knows the beginning from the end in terms of future and past, present. Has infinite knowledge and understanding, is just. In other words, he's righteous. He would judge rightly, regardless of what you brought to him. And has unlimited love for these creatures that have to get from point A to point B. Unlimited love. The only thing the creatures need to do is seek his help. And then they can have the help of this being to get from point A to point B. Now, what they give up is that they're giving up going their own way. They give up going their own way. Because if you're going to follow the one who knows, the great being in this picture, you can't go your way. Have to go his way. Right? And when you make it to the end, you don't keep the glory. Because you weren't the one that got yourself there. You see, so again, just a little mind picture to kind of make it a little simple here. But the beings who are the creatures who trust in this omniscient being are the ones that are going to make it from point A to point B. You see? It's kind of foolish. Like if you're looking down in this universe and you're imagining it, it seems like it would be very foolish for these little creatures to try to do this themselves. Does it not? This seems kind of foolish. Not kind of, like very foolish. And you can see the creatures trying to do it themselves, and they can hardly get over the first or second obstacle, right? And the other ones who follow the lead of that being that sees it all, they'll get from point A to point B. Right? And that's the scenario we have here. You know, and the funny thing is, life happens, and oftentimes we get tricked into going our own way and forgetting to really give our life and trust minute by minute, day by day, in the one who sees it all and has open-handedly offered to guide and direct our paths. Okay? So let's start here in Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to just take our time with a few of these verses here. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5, look at this. It says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Okay? What a verse. Stop and take that in, breathe it in. Trust in the Lord, that's God, with all your heart. All your heart means that there's nothing left of your heart to trust in something else. Because all of it is trusting in Him. Right? trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then it says this, do not lean on your own understanding. I love that word lean. It's like leaning on a staff or on a pair of crutches or something. You're relying on that to keep you up, standing up, right? Soon as if I'm relying and leaning on something and you take it away, I fall. What does it say here? It says, do not lean on your own understanding. Now, this is interesting. There's something deceiving about our own understanding, okay? And it is that it is your own understanding. It's the only perspective that we tend to have, right? When I approach a problem in life, I can rely on my own understanding from a human flesh perspective. The only thing I can rely on is what I see, what I taste, what I touch, what I hear, right? These are the things that I have to rely on. But all those do is give me my own perspective and understanding. And even amongst human beings, that varies, right? I have this perspective and this understanding. You have that perspective and that understanding. Somebody else has another one. Which one's right? Which one's even right? How do I even know my perspective or my understanding is even right? Even amongst men, right? I don't. Don't rely on your own understanding. Okay, we're going to do a little exercise here, and I want you to do it. Everybody close your eyes, okay? Close them so you can't see anything. It should be totally dark. All right, now imagine right now that the reason you can't see is because you have suddenly become blind, completely lost your sight, okay? How much help, keep your eyes shut, how much help would you need right now just to get out of this house that you go to every week, let alone get into your cars and get back to your homes? How much help would you need? Would you be able to do it without somebody taking your hand and leading you? You wouldn't, would you? Right? This is the condition. You can open your eyes if you want. That's the condition of your own understanding. That's the condition of your, that's what we're in. Apart from God and his word, we are blind. Even in a place where you know you would still need help to be led, to make it, right? That's the situation we are in, we find ourselves in. Verse 6, look at this. We're not to lean on our own understanding. Verse 6, it says this, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is life lived before him. It's in his presence. Okay? This is where I want to introduce prayer, the concept of prayer. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging him. And he will make straight my paths. If you go up to verse 1, it says this, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So this remembering of his teaching, this letting your heart keep his commandments, this wrapping his steadfast love and mercy around your neck and etching it into your heart is not done apart from relationship with him. Prayer. You see that? It's that time in prayer with him. It can't be done apart from him, apart from talking to him and seeking him. Verse 4 again says, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And I love this verse because there's a verse in Luke I'm going to read to you, and it's referring to Jesus Christ our Lord. In Luke 2:52 it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." And whether that's meant to be quoted or not, it sure is close. And the thing I love about it is that we just see a little insight into Jesus Christ our Lord himself would have been a young man taking heed to these very same scriptures and doing them, living them, eating them, breathing them, trusting in the Lord with all his heart, not leaning on his own understanding, in all his ways acknowledging God and God directing his paths. And we see that come to this culmination, this pinnacle in the garden, when his heart is in a place where he would say, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." And by being there and having the help of his God in relationship and trust and walking with God, was then able to give his life as a ransom for you and for me, so that we too could have that relationship with God in prayer, in life. Pretty amazing, huh? And it's because he took some heed to these very same scriptures that we're reading today. It's beautiful. Verse 6, it says again, "In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths." Look at this, verse 7. It says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." I love this. You know, we talk about that the prophecy we heard even this morning of not polishing. We don't have to polish ourselves up before we come to him, right? You know, do you have a sin or a habit in your life that's just gripped your life that you can't get free from? So often the human response is to try to polish that thing up so that I can get to God. But what we're to do is to come before him as we are. "Father, this thing is getting me again. I'm not free. Every time I'm presented with this temptation, I fall. And maybe I win this time, but the next time I fall." Right? And continually we see this thing in our life that we can't get free from. Well, the answer is going to be found in relationship, in prayer with God. Right? It says here, "Be not wise in your own eyes." Don't be wise in your own eyes. You don't have the strength to get free apart from him. You don't. Nor do I. Nor did the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we think in terms of, well, I got myself into this. I need to get myself out of this. You know, do you ever think that way? It's pride. You got yourself into this, fair enough, yes. But you can't get yourself out of it. It says this, it says, "Be not wise in your own eyes," verse 7. "Fear the Lord." Fear God, reverence him, and turn away from evil. And look at what it will be. Verse 8 says this, "It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." I think this is beautiful. I don't know. The Hebrew word flesh is actually navel. And here I'm going to geek out on you a little bit. Just as a nurse, I think about this. It's like the navel is where a little baby is fed from. That's where the tube was hooked up that fed your baby, you know, fed you when you were a baby, you know. And your bones are where God produces blood cells, the lifeblood of your breath. The reason you are here breathing and living is because that blood is flowing through your veins and it's made in the bones. You know, and I don't know if that's what the writer of Proverbs was thinking, but I think that way when I read this. It's life. That's what it is. It's life to you. When we are not wise in our own eyes, when we reverence him, and then out of reverence for him, and in reverence to him, we depart from evil, right? And there's an underlying heart here, and this is what I want you to see. I know the word prayer isn't being used here, but this can't be done apart from prayer, right? Prayer isn't just some formal rite that we do as a Christian because it's part of our Christianity. It's a relationship with your Heavenly Father, right? Where we're taking the good, the bad, the ugly to Him, and we're saying, God, I'm that little creature in this pathway, and I can't get from point A to point B because I simply don't see. I don't have the strength, and I don't know what to do, but You do. And so I'm going to accept Your benevolent love. I'm going to accept that You're righteous, that You know the end from the beginning, and I'm going to put my life in Your hands, Father, and I ask You for help today to do that. See, that's the kind of prayer we're talking about. And then God, by His grace, can take you from where you're at to where you need to be. And when you find yourself there, you'll know that it was Him. And you'll know it wasn't you. And there's nothing better. You know, we talked last week about waiting on the Lord. You know, are we faint? Are we tired? I'm going to read this to you again in Isaiah 40. And in verse 28, it says this. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." You know, if you're like me, you probably have ups and downs in how vibrant your prayer life is, your day-to-day relationship with God. You know, I thought about it because Pam and I got some wonderful time together last night, but we've been busy. And, you know, some of you will understand this, but in a relationship like that, there's periods of time where Pam and I go, and it's not like we're not talking, but it's just kind of business, you know, take care of this, take care of this, take care of this, take care of this. And so you go along, and eventually you feel kind of far away emotionally, and you have to take that time to really get synced up again. Does that make sense? The problem is, a lot of times we do that with God. Busy, 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 busy. Need this, need that, need this. Give this to you, give that to you, get this to you. You know, but meanwhile, boom, I'm on my pathway. I'm getting stuff done because I'm busy, right? And that's your relationship with God. Is it a relationship? Yeah, it's a relationship. But what about that time to slow down and really spend in His presence? Really get synced up. Do you see what I'm saying? It's important. You're weary. You're run down. You know, it's likely because you haven't spent the time to really get intimate with God. Spend that time. And if I don't have a vibrant prayer life with Him, it really does come down to pride. It comes down to pride. Either I think, as that little creature, that I can actually make it from point A to point B without His help, right? Or I think somehow He's not as good as He says He is. Or sometimes I think I'm not good enough to receive from such a good and benevolent being as God. But any one of those categories is really just pride. It's putting above God and what He says, what I think or what I feel. Look at this in Isaiah. This is really beautiful. Isaiah 57. You can go there if you want. Isaiah 57. And verse 15, I love this verse. Look at this. It says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." Isn't that sweet? This high and lifted up being, he is the definition of holy. He lives in this place that we can't honestly, in our fleshly minds at the moment, even contemplate how big and vast and beautiful and full of light and love that our God is, right? And it's this person that he will look to as the one that's lowly in spirit. He dwells with those who are of a contrite and lowly spirit to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Really beautiful. Just a little side note. Right now I'm reading through, I just got finished reading through Ezra, headed into Nehemiah. But there's some really great prayers in Ezra and Nehemiah. And you see the heart of Ezra, for example, I'm just reading through there, where he's recognizing what God is doing, but he also recognizes their own failure. And he goes to God on behalf of all of Israel, and he lays it out. And it's like, look, if this is going to happen, it's only by your grace, because we're a mess and we need forgiveness and we need your help. And I'm taking this to you, God, because it's not going to be me, you know? And that's the kind of heart that God is looking for in our prayers, right? Because if we're honest, that's the way every day is. We need his help. I need wisdom for how to lead my family. I need help to spend that time in his word. I need help to shine as a light. I need his help. It's really, really beautiful. I encourage you to read them. 1 Peter, if you would, please. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And it really is a joy, man. When you go and you spend that time with his help to lay your heart before him and to get free, there's really nothing like it. 1 Peter chapter 5. And now you know why we chose that song, "Be Anxious for Nothing." All right, look at this. Verse 6 is where we're going to start. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that that at the proper time he may exalt you." Okay, so get a little context here. Humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand. And then it says this in verse 7, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And you know why sometimes it's hard to cast our anxieties on him? It's because we're really not sure if the things that are causing anxiety are even really his will. And sometimes we don't want to find out. You ever have that happen? I'm anxious with all these things that I have on my agenda, and I'm anxious about them. And it's hard to take those things I'm anxious about and give them to God, because I'm not sure that all those things are even his will, right? But I do want to get them done. So I kind of do one of these and say, "God, please take care of these things. I'm going to keep going," right? As opposed to getting in his presence, laying them out before him, and saying, "Father, what do you want me to do?" Do you see the difference? Really getting free. Because I'm that little creature that's got to get from point A to point B, right? And the only way I can get his help is by not going my own way, but asking for his help and being then willing to go the way that he has for me. And trusting that his way is actually the best way. Do you see? Now I'm in a place where I can be free of anxiety because the way isn't mine. You see, I'm not responsible for the way anymore. I've just simply submitted my life to his way. I'm going to go his way. And you know who will provide for his way? God will. Do you see the difference? So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He knows what you have need of, right? Before you even ask him. Humble yourselves, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Then it says this, it says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, he'd be perfectly happy if we were busy doing things that most people would say are good things, that they're just not the will of God for you. Perfectly happy. Let those weeds grow up alongside those vines and choke it out so it doesn't produce the kind of fruit that God has. You see? If I'm going my own way, inevitably that will be the case. Right? But man, if our prayer life, we're going to him, we're laying these things before him, we're seeking his direction, Father, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. I want to do things your way. Help me to let go of the things that are not yours, the things that I'm holding and clinging so tightly to. You know, fear the Lord, depart from evil. It'll be health to your navel, life to your bones, right? That's what it says. Then you could take a deep breath. And the God who doesn't faint and isn't weary will strengthen you. You'll rise up with wings like eagles. You'll walk and not be weary. You'll run, you're not going to be faint. Because you're not doing your own will. You're doing the will of him who you trust in. And he will provide for you. Verse 9 then says, it says, resist him, the devil, firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. We're trusting in God, right? With all of our heart. We're not leaning on our own understanding, right? In all our ways, we're acknowledging him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's important to see here, too. It's a little while. After you've suffered a little while. But look, God doesn't promise that the way from point A to point B comes without suffering, even if it is we follow him. You understand? But it's for a little while. And guess who's there to supply, to care for you, to protect and guide you? It's him. And the God of all grace who's called you, look at this, to his what? Glory in Christ Jesus. It's bigger than just what you have, don't have, experience, don't experience in this life, right? Because when I get from point A to point B, there's something far greater at point B that I could not even imagine on my own, and that we will be part of because we're his children, because we've been redeemed by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Pretty exciting, right? That hope. And this is the promise that he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him, to our God, be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. All right.